Good morning. Thursday, March 14th. We've got a whole new friend sitting over here next to me. It's Michael. Michael Wood. You might know him from another podcast we have, The Wheelhouse, but we're talking on Pi Day. Here I go. The people really want to know who I is
and who I be. They stop and stare when they see me. Like Pi Day was kind of created by all those geometry companies to, you know, sell more geometry.
It's not Hallmark. Definitely the geometry. They were like, we got to sell more textbooks. We're going to make Pi Day, right? I don't know if that actually 100%. Works. What's your favorite pie? You have to ask that question, right, on Pi Day? Isn't that the thing?
Like, 100% it was my mamaw's chocolate pie. Like, and nobody can replicate it. I don't care if you have the recipe. You don't have mamaw's touch.
That's right. Yeah. There's something about grandma, mamaw, whatever you call her. Like, whatever chocolate she has, like, it probably has some sort of drugs or something in it. You don't know that for sure. There's something addictive about coming back to it, whatever it is. I agree. My grandma, it wasn't pie, but it was like chocolate chip cookies. They just tasted different than everybody else's in the world. And they were probably store-bought, but they were in grandma's cookie jar, right? Oh, man. You're going to be at Asodukan, right?
I am.
Here in
yes, sir.
Just over 60 days. We are, like I just said, just over 60 days away. The early bird pricing on that ends tomorrow. Also, if you're a sponsor and you're looking to be there, an industry partner, we've got some updated changes to the way the expo floor is going. You're going to want to contact our director of partner relationships, Anne-Marie, about that. If you know her, if you're a dealer, you're going to want to get your ticket because you're going to want to hang out with Michael. You'll probably learn in the next 10 minutes exactly why you're going to want to do that. The Auto Collabs podcast that we have, where we do long form interviews of people that we really dig into specific topics or personalities. We've got Greg Euland from Reynolds and Reynolds, the CMO there, talking about a lot of the conquest opportunities, retention. It was a very, very diligent podcast about exactly what the conversation was geared toward, what they're seeing from all of the registrations and sales and cross sales reports that they get the access to. So you're going to want to check that out. But other than that, let's get into talking about what's going on in the world of EVs today. It's all EVs. I said before let's the show, I'm like, I don't even know if I love this, but it is what it is. Sometimes you got to talk about EVs. Hyundai is gearing up to expand its electrical vehicle lineup. With the IONIQ 9 recently announced early in March, but now it's been seen out in the wild. It's a first-of-its-kind three-row electric SUV from Hyundai. The anticipation for its debut is building, and there's been glimpses of its design now through some testing footages. I think we maybe have a photo up there of some of the footage that we've seen that electric was able to show. So here's a little bit of the details of the IONIQ 9. It's their first three-row SUV. It skips number 7 and 8 coming after the IONIQ 5 and IONIQ 6. The IONIQ 5 last year was the top-selling the sixth top-selling EV in the U.S. The IONIQ 9 will sit on their EGMP platform that allows for a little bit more space. It will be similar to the size of almost the size of an Escalade, so really big from the EV perspective. They aim to start production in the first half of this year, with sales expected to be in mid-2025. First half of next year. And because it's going to be made in the new mega plant in Georgia, it should qualify for the $7,500 EV tax credit. The full unveiling is proposed to be in June. Totally different look for Hyundai.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty good looking vehicle. I mean, when you sent it over this morning reading the article, I hadn't seen it yet. And I've been pretty impressed with a lot of the Hyundai units so far, excuse me. So once a month, we generally cross train at our stores, and we had them bring the IONIQ 6 over to train against the ID4. And I mean, I had to say I was pretty impressed with the vehicle. It's a beautiful, beautiful EV. And Hyundai seems to be getting it right, you know, with setting it up with the consumer, with the charger, you know, kind of taking on the roadblocks to electrification, saying like, we're going to blow them up for you and just make this nice and easy. You know, one of my sales associates at my Land Rover store, he actually just leased an IONIQ 6, and You know, within a month, he had his level two charger installed at his house, used a credit from the manufacturer. They get it. They understand what it's going to take to get people to take the EVs.
Yeah. You know, I think they've done that not just in EVs, but ICE vehicles over the last 10 to 12 years. They've really shown what it looks like to do quality, not just pre-sales, but after sales and retention. I think that you bringing these other cars to your inventory, like, If there's not groups that are going, hey, how do we get this car from this person to over here so that they can cross train on exactly what's known? That's like everybody just got enough value out of this pod this morning to make sure and do that. And then the other piece of like adding the charger, because I think that's one of the biggest stressors.
It 100% is. My wife has a PHEV, and it made a world of a difference. Before we had the level two charger installed at our house, it was just like driving an ICE vehicle.
Yeah.
But as soon as we got that level two charger installed, it's kind of like a game for her now. You know, she comes home, she's like, oh, I've got 23% left, babe. And then, you know, we start looking at the Dominion Power, and we're like, all right, well, we're going to go down at 10 o'clock and plug it in. And, you know, people look at it as like a barrier, but it's actually become kind of quite fun for both of us to do it. And she's like, man, I haven't put gas in my car in like 4 weeks. And she's still sitting at 3/4 of a tank.
Wow.
But this is a person that, you know, 6 months ago, if you had had a conversation with her about buying an EV, it would have been a non-starter.
Yep.
You know, the PHEV gave her the comfort. But, you know, I think Hyundai's doing it right. You know, I started selling Toyotas. And when I had a customer that came in and they're like, oh, I'm looking at the Sonata or I'm looking at the Camry. And I'm like, okay, go ahead, look at it. I know you're going to come back and you're going to buy my Toyota. But here we are 12 years later. I mean, look what Hyundai's done. It's impressive. It really is.
It's nuts. A question in the YouTube chat said, do we think Hyundai breaks the Ioniq lineup into its own brand like Genesis? Seems to be following a similar pattern.
I'd be hard pressed to see that.
Yeah. I would be super hard pressed to see that, because I think that the move is that, you know, the whole thing goes EV and Ioniq is just the way that they branch into that. It's not like they're going to spin it off and keep Hyundai ICE vehicles for the next 20 years, you know?
And I think if we listen to the smartest people in the room, Toyota, I think that we're going to find that most manufacturers, if they're smart, will make sure that they're offering all derivatives for their customers and not forcing them into one choice. You know, if you want to buy an ICE, buy an ICE. If you want a hybrid, if you want a PHEV, you want an EV, you know, that's the road to the future.
Well, speaking of only offering one choice.
Segway.
The last two stories are about two manufacturers actually looking to do that. First, Volkswagen, once all up and involved in the Dieselgate scandal, is now at the forefront of the EV revolution, looking to embark on its most ambitious product launch to date, on its way to what they're considering a 100% EV future. The first announcement by the CEO at their annual summit this week was that they are going to be across its brands. So this isn't just Volkswagen, but all its brands. They're going to be announcing 30 new models in the year 2024. CFO Arno Antlitz said, We will invest in our last generation of ICE vehicles. Then he said, these investments are going to be phased out. Last year, the VW Group saw deliveries rise 10% globally with an operating profit of just over $25 billion US. So it's not like they're struggling by any means, but there's definitely a move from them to go and take the position that 100% EV is the way to go.
I think it's a bold strategy. I think that it could end up being a make or break kind of thing for the VW brand. You know, you're putting your cards all out there, going all in on this, you know. But with that said, it's also a really exciting time. I mean, that ID. Buzz, you can't just look at that thing without smiling.
Right.
And, you know, people don't even know when they can order them yet. And we've already got an order list of 30 plus at my dealership.
Golly.
So it's going to be a hot unit. It is really going to be a hot unit. And I think the opportunity to sell accessories on that unit as well is going to be super, super fun, because it's just that's that kind of vehicle. If you think back to the original bus itself, I mean, it was so accessorized.
Yep.
And then talk about the ID.7. I think it's nice to see finally a legacy OEM coming out with an EV that kind of looks like it could compete with a Model S. I mean, I personally am excited for the ID.7 and will likely take one as a demo when we get one in after we sell through the early adopter phase of that right. vehicle. But, you know, I think it's a cool looking car. I really like what VW has coming out. I just would love to see a PHEV option and maybe some hybrids, but doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Yeah. And for Volkswagen, I think like from a branding perspective, especially if they harken back to some of the legacy branding that they had, with the van, with the original bus, right? Is something that they could lean on, this very like earth-friendly, eco-friendly branding, where they maybe lost that a little bit with like the STI and stuff like that, in the that thing was not anywhere eco-friendly, so they maybe get to harken back to that with stuff like this, and obviously the brand's premium lines are already making moves toward EV, and we see, you know, we were talking about the Porsche Taycan yesterday as far as like just supercar EVs. So they've taken the position across their brands, not just in VW.
Yep, absolutely. That is a fun car if you've ever driven one.
Absolutely, it's quick. Sure. Haven't done that, but yeah, seeing as it did beat the Tesla Plaid, it's got to be a whole lot of fun.
See,
we were talking about the Segway game to start, and I totally missed it. We're just gonna have to stop. Another brand that you know very well about, because it's one of your stores, Jaguar, is embracing also an all-electric future, with plans to exclusively produce electric vehicles by 2025. We actually talked a little bit about this on the Wheelhouse last week. This is a new recent announcement and comes amidst a whole host of other speculations around the Jaguar brand that I'm sure we'll get into. By 2024, there is a goal to have three new electric vehicles. There is an introduction of an electric four-seat GT car comparable to the Porsche Taycan. Pricing is the biggest change, with pricing starting in the low six figures all the way up to the mid 200s for what looks to be a switch to a fully high luxury brand. Additionally, and I think you've stated this and can maybe speak to it, the introduction of reduction of number of rooftops in the U.S. and a much more look at a premium brand alongside the EV transition.
Yeah, I think what we're really seeing here with Jaguar is we're going back to our roots, back to the heritage. You know, we're going to be pushing the edge when it comes to the styling of the vehicle. And with that, they're going to, you know, really upstream the price point. And I think it's going to be worth every penny. I mean, I was very fortunate last year. My dealer principal gave me a call and he said, "Hey, Mike, there's a conference over in the UK. I'm going to need you to go to it." And of course, I begrudgingly said yes, because I had never been to Europe before. And he jokingly said, he goes, "This is a young man's game." He goes, "It's about a 3-day trip." And he goes, "And this isn't for me." And I said, "All right, perfect. I'll take it." But I got to go over to the retailer conference, and I personally got to see the future of Jaguar. And although I can't say too much about it because we did sign some NDAs, all I can tell you is that the vehicle is absolutely beautiful.
Right.
It is very sophisticated. It is elegant. It is modern, and it goes back to the lineage that is truly Jaguar. We kind of lost our way for a little while trying to become a volume luxury brand. We deserve, and rightfully so, should be a boutique style luxury brand. And that's kind of what they're looking for. And that's why we're looking to reduce the amount of rooftops in the US. They did offer, you know, some things to do that last year as well. And there were some dealers that gave up. I'm fortunate. I work for a dealer who actually has the oldest Jaguar dealership in the United States.
Oh, wow.
So we won't be going anywhere. We're keeping the brand. That's for sure.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you think about like I remember I grew up 80s, 90s, like the Jaguar was like the car, right? Like if you could get in a Jaguar, it was the thing. And so, you know, to kind of see that lose its ether in the 2000s and 2010s, and then now, hey, we're coming back. It's exciting. you know, yep. Whether or not that clientele wants an all EV future, we'll see, yet to be determined. But I'm guessing that they'll be attracting a net new audience with everything that they've got going on. So.
I think it'll take time, but I think it'll come back to being kind of like a Range Rover-esque type vehicle. It'll be a status symbol. It's not going to be the daily driver. It's going to be the vehicle that they drive to the red carpet. Because when you see these vehicles, when the pictures get leaked in Q3, Q4 of this year, I mean, it's unreal. It's beautiful.
That's amazing. Well, hey, Michael, thanks for joining us today. It was fun to get a little insight into someone that's seeing this stuff on the daily. See you on vacation. We got dogs barking in the background. It's no big deal. We're serving customers. Let's go.